This is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Presented by Edmonton Motors.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
It's 3 minutes after 1 o'clock and the Justin Schultz show, and I'm only barely kidding, getting tweets here as the afternoon rolls on. We knew Toronto and New York were out. The Rangers were out via Bob McKenzie on Twitter before we left. Now we find out from Spectre and also from McKenzie that Vancouver is out. So it's, Connor, it's Edmonton, Ottawa, Minnesota. I think that's what's left.
And then the mystery team.
There's a mystery team?
The mystery team.
Oh, my God.
The X Factor.
Mystery team. Who could that be? Not the Habs, but the Jets?
KHL?
Minsk. It's Minsk. Oh, well, we'll follow that story throughout the afternoon. Hopefully, we'll get some closure here because, you know, afternoon is going to run into evening, and I want to be on my deck, you know, having a glass of water here later and enjoying the evening. But we're joined now by Hall of Famer Terry Jones, and he's seen damn near everything. So this is no surprise to you, right, Terry?
I'm sorry?
You've seen almost everything in your years.
I haven't seen this before, no. I know, it's... It's really remarkable. I would love to know a number of Edmontonians at this very moment who are glued to Twitter to find out about this, and they got to be getting excited with Vancouver because it's if that's indeed the case. Because I mean, that was a team he grew up on out of Kelowna, and his parents are supposed to be season ticket holders, and I think most people had them as one of the last two. And with them out of there, I think Edmontonians got to be getting real excited now.
Well, as somebody who has been, you know, quick, and I'm talking about myself here, to be critical, I have to say that based on what we know of the Oilers' presentation, it was top drawer, and they went all out.
Well, that, and you know, when we're sitting there at the press conference for the hiring of their new coach, it was, you know, there were questions to Steve Tambellini in that. In that gathering that kind of indicated that, you know, he didn't really know what was going on. And then a few minutes later, we find out that Kevin Lowe and Craig McTavish are in Toronto for the proceedings. And then all of a sudden, you've got Taylor Hall being brought into there. You hear about that. And then... you got Ralph Kruger and Tambellini apparently headed there, and then you find out that that these guys, you know, pushed what might be the ultimate selling point there, and had Wayne Gretzky and Paul Coffey both give them a call and tell them what it was like and what they think it will be like as a young player in a group that I guess you could say is surrounded by. A lot of lowercase Gretzky, you know, Messier, Curry, Anderson, and maybe this guy's Paul Coffey Light too. So, you know, that had to, you know, you got to listen when Wayne Gretzky gives you a call. Come on, and well, especially if you're a right side defenseman, puck moving guy, Paul, you follow that up with Paul Coffey, and you know, I'm sure the kid was pretty impressed with that part of the day.
Absolutely. And I also think there's been a lot made of the Oilers possibly, you know, promising or guaranteeing playing time in the NHL. I don't think they have to guarantee anything, right? Terry, based on the depth chart, this kid has a glorious opportunity to come in here and play big minutes at even strength and on the power play.
Well, I think that's the thing, is you don't have to put it in a contract you know, whatever they're expecting him to do, because from everything I know, and that's the interesting thing with this, Alan, is you know, we're on the radio right now talking about a kid that neither of us ever watched or, you know.
Heard of.
Yeah, I mean, well, heard of him, certainly. But, you know, when it came to Neil Yakupov, for example, you know, I watched him in the World Junior and had a couple of, you know, other opportunities here and there. When it came to... you know, the number two guy in the draft out of Everett, covered him over in the World Hockey Championships, saw him in the World Junior Championships, and also you know, the entire training camp of World Junior. So Ryan Murray I was totally familiar with, and of course when you were dealing with their other pick, which is that they were really, really looking at, which was Reinhardt. Well, we all watched Griffin play with the Edmonton Oil Kings, so we knew we had a pretty good idea. I'm not saying we were Stu McGregor out there, but this guy, you're going by say-so, but it's as was the case with Yakupov, every scout I know is saying this guy can walk in and play in the NHL and on the Oilers, can walk in and be a top four defenseman, meaning probably a number three or four to start his career whenever the next season starts.
Well, and it's funny because I was thinking about if Schultz ends up playing here, they make that trade for Nick Schultz, who's a stay at home type and a veteran guy. They've got Whitney and they've got Smead on the left side.
You're a radio guy, saying, okay, here goes the play by play.
So you've got all those guys.
We're going with first names here.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I barely know them, but and you've got all those guys. Then you make the selection of the forward. If the Oilers didn't know about this, the fait accompli was going to be the final decision, and they end up getting Schultz, they're going to look pretty brilliant based on what they did from the trade deadline in.
And the one thing you'd have to give the much maligned Steve Tambellini credit for, if this comes through, is he's got to be the luckiest guy in the history of hockey. I mean, he wins three lotteries, including the one from not from the 30th position, but from 29th position. And the timing to be involved in this situation if they get him. But hold it here. I mean, I haven't, if it's true that Ottawa's still in this thing and Minnesota is still in this thing, mm-hmm. I don't get either one of those. And I'm not sure, but I keep getting the sense that there's some team we don't know about in this thing. Now, for the life of me, I don't understand why Ottawa would be a consideration. And when it comes to Minnesota, when it comes to the college situation around there, well, they're the enemy to the Wisconsin Badgers.
Yeah.
So I'd really wonder what their pitches were. There's got to be something there that we don't know about.
Well, Bob McKenzie is tweeting that there is a mystery team, too. And I mean, the teams that I have heard about are all the teams listed, and we know the three that are gone, Vancouver, Toronto, and the Rangers. So, whenever there's something like this, I say Detroit because they always do these kind of things. But
Calgary.
Well, there's a good. Oh man, it would be a long night in Edmonton, right?
Wouldn't it?
Remind me, I got to stop at the store on the way home. Make sure that there's. So let's talk. We've talked about that enough. Let's talk about the Oilers. If they don't get Schultz, do you see them being very active in free agency or maybe by the trade route?
Well, my personal opinion is that the free agency thing, there's nothing wrong with taking your trip at the plate to with Suter and those guys, but I think that they're in a situation where what they really, really need to do here is wait on that. I'm going to say the Chris Pronger type and put you in that situation from. Previous to fill in that last piece, that A number one final piece of the puzzle, eat up a ton of minutes defenseman, one of the top four or five that are out there the next time one comes up in free agency, either next year or the year after. I think that's when you put that piece in. This team, and you were alluding to it when you're talking to Bruce earlier, people talk about how bad the Edmonton defense is, but the situation is truly that they've got a lot on the shelf. There's some defensive players in the cupboard that just need time to develop, and I think you need to keep a spot or two up to keep those guys moving up, get a taste, go back down, work on what you found out, go back up, that sort of thing. And I think they've got enough assets now that they can put together a pretty good deal to fill in some of their holes. And I think a significant percentage of the Oiler population would really like to see these guys get proactive in making a real smart hockey trade using the assets that they've that they've put together in the last 4 years.
You make a great point there, and I'm gonna move it to forward here, and we're going to talk about Ryan Smith and the possibility of him coming back. Last year when he signed, a few young players like Pajärvi and Hartikainen got lost in the shuffle a little bit, ended up spending more time in the minor leagues, which is fine. But Ryan Smith is close to, you know, free agency here. Is this the drop-off point where maybe you say to the new coach, we're not signing Ryan Smith, but we want you to develop these younger kids in that role?
Well, Smitty's a really interesting position. When he came here last year, I was, saying, this is terrific. The fan base, going through what they've been going through these last 3 years and in being the bottom of the barrel, deserved to have that feel-good story come back. And I think it was great for Smitty to come back. But I said, this is not going to end well whenever it ends. I don't. If Ryan Smith has got his head wrapped around it right now, that he comes back and that... He transitions into a different part of his career to get an extra 3-4 years on it. And I'm not talking about them all being here, but being a player that instead of playing, I don't know what he played last year, 19 minutes or whatever, that maybe goes down to about 16 or something like that, that isn't going to be on the first power play, that may take second games of back-to-back games off once in a while, those sort of things, and is more of a role player, quite frankly. I think there's a place for Ryan Smith here this year for sure, quite possibly next year, but I know there were times last year where Ryan wasn't when Ralph Krueger took over the power play last year and took it from 27th to 3rd in the NHL. One of the differences was Ryan Smith wasn't getting anywhere near the piece of action that he had or expected here when he came here, I think. So he's going to have to get his head wrapped around that if they go forward. But I honestly do hope that they get a contract done short term. 1 year would be the best, but to keep him an Oiler and give him a role in being a guy to help build that bridge to the future, because that's what they need right now, and he fits that bill, quite frankly.
So let's. Last year, the Edmonton Oilers, I didn't expect them to do a lot free agency. They did a lot. They brought in Ben Eager.
Yeah, don't you wish they hadn't?
Yeah. They brought in Eric Bélanger, Eager. Cam Barker was brought in, and Corey Potter right at the end of the day. They made the trade for Sutton. One would imagine with the roster the way it is, they'll be less active in free agency, right? They won't bring in five guys.
I don't see them doing maybe more than one move, maybe two minor ones or something like that. I think the job there is for them to really come up with that big make sense trade to a team that's got an asset, particularly on defense, like a 3-for-1 type deal. I think that's there to be done.
Final one, and then I got one quick question to go back to the Schultz thing, but the Eskimos playing tonight. I married a Rough Rider fan, so I need the Eskimos to really win big tonight to make up for last night. Eskimo fans heading to the game, this is a different team, a different quarterback. Ricky Ray happens to be in town, as luck would have it. what's your feel about the game tonight?
Well, I'm expecting the Eskimos to win. Just because they have Ricky Ray, you have to take a look at the rest of the Argo lineup. And poor Ricky leaves here after playing the last 4 or 5 years with questionable offensive line and a lack of receiving depth and ends up with the Argos with exactly the same two problems. I mean, their offensive line is open to big-time questioning, and when Jason Barnes is your go-to guy instead of Fred Stamps, ouch. So, and the Eskimos, I thoroughly expect to have an excellent defense this year, and no quarterback, but an excellent defense. And at this time of year, defenses usually win.
All right, Jerry, I'm going to put you on the spot. Now, you're getting ready to write your article on Justin Schultz, and he's just signed with Anaheim. What's your lead there? If that were to happen after all of this.
Then I go to the football game.
Immediately. I'm sure it won't happen, but that would be the ultimate kicker, right?
Yeah, I think one of the interesting things there is that his pick in the second round that year was Anaheim, but that pick originally belonged to the Oilers.
Yeah, it did. And that was
a neat twist if the Oilers signed him.
Yeah, that was the part of the Dustin Penner offer sheet or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I think Tyler Myers ended up being the other one, but we won't talk about that. Terry, have a great afternoon, buddy. Thanks so much.
Okay, be good.
All right, that's Terry Jones from the Edmonton Sun, Hall of Fame writer. Of course, we have him on Team 1260 lots through the week, and for good reason, because he knows his stuff. And, you know, you can call Terry Jones and ask him a question about 1979's draft, and he remembers it. And a steel trap memory. And we thank him for that, and we thank him for his information and his insight, and we'll have him on again very soon. Now, we've got a very busy 40 minutes here or so, hopefully full of Justin Schultz to Edmonton news. We don't have that yet. I'll give you the latest. Toronto, New York, and Vancouver are out. There's four teams apparently left, and according to everything we're reading on Twitter, he is calling the teams as their last man out. So the last call, the last team that gets the call will be the winner. So we're waiting and hoping like everybody else. And what a crazy day. I was just reading one of the guys that I follow on Twitter. He was getting on a flight in 30 seconds and didn't want to go. And I think that was from Pittsburgh, but I'm not sure. Okay. Cam Charon from Leafs Nation on the way. This is Nation Radio brought to you by Edmonton Motors.